The Yellowstone supervolcano is one of our planet's restless giants. Could it erupt in our lifetimes? Come along with FBCC professor and geothermal expert Adam Wentz as we learn all about this little-known Yellowstone volcano. Hi, and welcome to the FBCC Nature Journal, the podcast for everyone who loves nature. We're coming to you from the beautiful campus of Flathead Valley Community College at the foot of the Swan Mountain Range of northwest Montana. I'm John Fraley, longtime instructor in wildlife conservation here at the college, and I also served 40 years with the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. Our producer is the talented Colin Burkhardt, and thanks to Morgan Ray, the library director, for offering the library as our podcast home. Today, we welcome Adam Wentz to our Nature Journal podcast. Adam, thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, John.
Now, you've been on before. This is actually broadcast number 70, so you were in the 30s somewhere, I think. But yeah, we're getting up there, Colin. That's a 70 broadcast. But first of all, tell us about your background and your interest in the Yellowstone volcano and other geothermal features in the Yellowstone area.
So when I was growing up, we lived in Red Lodge, which is just over the hill, if you will, from Yellowstone. So we got to visit there quite a bit when I was a kid, and seeing all the thermal features, seeing all the rocks and the animals and everything made me interested in science. And then I got a degree in geochemistry from Montana Tech, and been teaching the last 20 years now here and there. And yeah, Yellowstone's has always been interesting for me and my family.
And you're kind of our expert on geothermal issues here around Flathead Valley Community College. You've been to Yellowstone a number of times, and we did a previous show about a lot of the geothermal features there. But the Yellowstone caldera itself is sometimes referred to as the Yellowstone supervolcano. Tell us what it actually is.
So the Yellowstone caldera is just basically when it last erupted 640,000 years ago, and I mean major eruption. So much material erupted out of the ground that the magma chamber became partially emptied, and that was no longer able to hold the rocks up above, so the ground basically just collapses back into the magma chamber. That's what a caldera is. I mean, if anybody has ever been to Crater Lake in Oregon, That's a smaller caldera that formed 8,500 years ago, approximately.
So this Yellowstone caldera, then, it's 43 by 28 miles in size. Is that right?
Yes. From whatever measurements they've made, it's one of the largest ones on the planet.
How many are there that are this big?
That are this size?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know off the top of my head, but I would say that there are quite a few that are large.
Okay.
But I don't have an exact number off the top of my head.
And when was it formed?
The last major eruption, caldera-forming eruption of Yellowstone, was 640,000 years ago.
Okay. And there were two previous ones, right? 1.3 million years ago and 2.1 million years ago?
Yes. Those were earlier eruptions, but they don't... While there are still deposits from those eruptions, they don't make Yellowstone like the last eruption did.
Now, see, we're going to start a trend. Everybody that can hear this is going to start getting their calculators out and determining whether we're going to get another eruption while they're still alive. I know I don't want it to happen. So one of the largest in the world was formed 640,000 years ago. And you already kind of explained it, but a lot of people just say, how do you recognize a caldera versus the other geothermal features? What's the difference of it?
So what you have to do is you have to study the rocks, the patterns of how the rocks are laid down, what we call stratigraphic column. You look at the layers of rocks, what they are, and just by the patterns of that. So you're not looking at the surface completely, partially the surface, but also what are the rock layers below? So they have different ways of testing for that.
So if we have this magma inside of a caldera, how much magma was there in this big caldera, this supervolcano?
So recent measurements suggest that there's over 900 cubic miles of magma in this caldera, but only a very small proportion of that, like maybe 1 or 2% of it is liquid. The rest of it's more of a more solid, shall we say.
Could you refer to it as molten rock? Is that what it is?
That little proportion of it, yes. The rest of it is more just like, I don't know, candle wax, like just warm candle wax where it can flow very slowly. But keep in mind, we're miles below ground, so there's a lot of overlying pressure and weight on it that it's not going to move that much anyway in a very fast period of time.
So if people are driving through Yellowstone where this is, they might be actually driving across that caldera and not know it, right? Because this is down deep. How deep is it?
Well, the caldera is at the surface.
Oh, okay.
There are certain places between Madison Junction and Norris Geyser Basin where you can actually see the wall. One of them is like Terrace Mountain. Is one place, or Gibbon Falls over the edge of the caldera. But the rest of it has been filled in by more recent, much smaller eruptions with lava flows and things like that. That's happened up as recently as 70,000 years ago.
So if you were going to describe to someone, what is magma? Is magma basically molten rock? And you said there was a couple different, some of it's thicker than others, some of it flows more. Explain magma a little more.
So magma is molten rock when it's below ground. And how viscous, how able to flow it is depends on how much silica there is in it. So the more silica, which is like glass, similar chemical formula, the more silica, the stickier, more viscous it is. So you get lavas at the surface. That's what lava is, molten rock at the surface. So rhyolite is the main volcanic rock type in Yellowstone. It has high silica. Basalt also exists, like in Hawaii, Iceland, and actually southern Idaho in the Snake River Plain. It's got much less silica in it, so it flows more over longer distances.
Is there any basalt in the Yellowstone area?
Yes.
There is. Okay.
Yes, Obsidian Cliff would be one example, I believe, is basalt. If I'm incorrect about that, then there's a few other spots towards Tower Fall that has basalt.
So when do volcanoes erupt? We talked about that a little bit. If everybody out there is kind of trying to find out if this is going to erupt or not, what would the scientists say that, when do they erupt? Why do they erupt?
Why do they erupt? They erupt because they are getting magma in from the mantle below. So we sit on the Earth's crust. The layer below that is the mantle. The Earth's crust is, depending on where you are, several miles thick, up to like 60 miles thick. But then below that is the mantle where this more pliable, movable rock is. And so we have to have a fresh infusion of magma into the magma chamber. And you have to hit a certain threshold value, which varies from volcano to volcano, but you have to hit the certain optimal threshold and then have that magma push its way further towards the surface, where then it erupts in whatever fashion the volcano erupts in. Now, every time magma goes up towards the surface, does that guarantee an eruption? No. Only a very small proportion of those actually result in an eruption.
So Yellowstone, they have the super volcano, and there's several other types of volcanoes.
Sure. So if you think about Mount St. Helens, which erupted in 1980, that's a stratovolcano. And how those form would be, you have eruptions that are very explosive. They produce lots of ash, pumice, all that kind of stuff, what we call tephra. And then during other eruptions, they're quieter, where they just have lava flowing out of the volcano. So you have these layers of ash, then another layer of lava. So alternating layers, like a layer cake. Stratovolcano. Then if you go places like Kilauea in Hawaii or Mauna Loa in Hawaii, those are shield volcanoes where they may have explosive eruptions, but they tend to be quieter, what we call effusive eruptions, where the lava just comes out and flows down the slopes, and because of gravity, it makes a broad-shaped shield. Those are the two of the major types. There are others, but those are the two major types.
Now, we talked about Yellowstone being rich in geysers, and you were saying it might have like 75% of the world's geysers just in Yellowstone itself. And you made the good point. If it weren't for the geothermal features, Yellowstone wouldn't be a national park. Probably would never have been protected. So when you're looking at it that way, let's say a person is just going to go and visit Yellowstone. And they know now about that there's actually a super volcano there, because I bet most people didn't even know that before they listened to our show here. And what I'm asking is, what are some things they can look at as they drive around Yellowstone and see? And we know about the geothermal features, but the signs of the super volcano.
So signs that the volcano exists, you have all of these lava flows, especially in the western part of the park. When you drive from West Yellowstone into the park to Madison, you're going through this canyon, and on both sides you have lava flows. So there is evidence of the volcano there. We wouldn't have the hot springs without the heat. We wouldn't have Yellowstone Lake without smaller explosions that have formed, like West Thumb and all that kind of stuff. Those are all related to that magma that's below the surface. So somebody driving through, you'd see the mountains, you're not going to see this big hole in the ground. There is no big hole in the ground. That's been filled in by more recent eruptions.
Yeah.
But any holes in the ground you see are formed by something more recent, typically.
And so the Yellowstone supervolcano last erupted, was that the 600? No, there was one more recent in 640,000 years ago, right?
The 640,000 year ago was the last caldera-forming eruption in Yellowstone.
Let's bounce through a few commonly asked questions the Park Service gets. Those are maybe going to go and visit. And it might scare you a little bit out there, folks in the audience, but Adam will rest you assured. Is Yellowstone's volcano still considered active?
So, to a geologist, an active volcano is one that's erupted since the end of the last ice age, which is about 11,700 years ago. So if I go by that definition, no, it is not still active.
I'll be done. Okay. What is this is a good one. What is Yellowstone National Park doing to stop or prevent an eruption?
Because
we're all toast if it happens, yeah. Right?
What can anybody do? There is nothing anybody can do to start or stop a volcanic eruption. So it would be pointless to try.
So if this super volcano went off at the same rate that it did previous, the last time, it would wipe out life on all the way around for a long ways, right?
It would certainly have a significant effect upon the planet. Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
the closer you are, the worse things are going to be, but you would not be. It would be interesting all around the planet, yes.
Because it can block the sun and cause
a volcanic winter.
Yeah, volcanic winter. What is a supervolcano?
Supervolcanoes are volcanoes that will have erupted hundreds, if not thousands, of cubic miles of material. So if you think about Mount St. Helens, it's like a little tiny firecracker compared to what these supervolcanoes are. And there are a number of them around the planet, not just Yellowstone, but other places.
This is a good one here because it brings out the whole situation of how people should or shouldn't worry. Will the Yellowstone volcano erupt soon? And how do scientists know that the Yellowstone volcano won't erupt like tomorrow?
Well, if it were planning to erupt, there'd be signs, significant earthquakes, much more than anything we've ever seen. There's no guarantee that it will. There's no guarantee that it won't. But it's highly unlikely that it'll erupt anytime within our lifetimes.
And it's not tied to Old Faithful, right? It's not tied to that
geothermal.
No.
Old Faithful is there because of the heat from the magma chamber, but Old Faithful is not a sign that the volcano is or is not going to erupt.
Well, Adam, thanks a lot for coming on, and I feel reassured that we're not going to get a big eruption in the next few weeks at least. So you can go online and get more information on the Yellowstone supervolcano. Thanks again for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
That's all the time we have for this episode of the FBCC Nature Journal. Thanks for joining us. I'm John Fraley, and I'll see you next time.